I start. Can anybody tell me two people by name whom God said he loved in the Old Testament? I'll give a big reward to anybody who will tell me the Old Testament must be full of people that God loved. Tell me two that it says that God loved individually. Well, let me read you about one. And the others are so hard to find, I have to go back to the original language and also the way that others are described, and I finally was able to gather together three specific ones whose names are given us that God loved. All right, now, in 2 Samuel 12, look at verse 24. Tragedy has happened to David. He's committed a great sin, and God has judged him for that sin. The little one that was born died. And look at verse 24. And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went in unto her and lay with her. And she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon. And the Lord loved him. That's clear enough. You say, well, it must be simple. Here is one that God loved. I asked for two. But notice, the Lord loved him, and he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and he called his name Jedidiah for the Lord's sake. And the word Jedidiah, it may sound strange in our ears, but it's a beautiful name. It means beloved of the Lord. And so, if you see somebody named Jedidiah, it sounds so strange that it means beloved of the Lord. Now, I wish that I could stop and not tell you anything else about Solomon, but I'll tell you one good thing about him. Turn to chapter 13 of 1 Kings. 1 Kings, no, 3. Let's try 3 first of all, and then I'll show you at the last of 1 Kings. 1 Kings 3, and look at verse 1. And Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Only the people sacrificed in the high places because there was no house built for the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places. That's beautiful. We find two things. First, that the Lord loved Solomon and gave him another name, Jedidiah, which means beloved of the Lord. But then it says in 13, 3 that in turn, Solomon loved the Lord. And often in the Old Testament, you'll find God loving someone, but that love is never returned. But in this case, in the case of Solomon, it could be said that God loved Solomon. And it could also be said, because it's recorded for us, that Solomon loved God. I only wish that this had been true the whole of his life. But now, let's turn to chapter 11. Chapter 11. And see what it says there. Verse 1. Now King Solomon loved many foreign women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go among them, neither shall they come among you, for surely they will turn away your heart after other gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. Now, look down at verse 4.
For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. The Bible mentions only one thing that it holds against David, and that is Uriah the Hittite. But not that now. Look at verse 5. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, and these other false gods. Verse 6. And Solomon did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the mount that is before Jerusalem, and for Moloch, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And so did he for all his fallen wives, who burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, Forasmuch as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding, in thy days I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit I will not rend away all the kingdom, but I will give one tribe to thy son, for David my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. Now, it mentions three things concerning love about Solomon. It says that when little Solomon was born, that God loved him. And then, when Solomon had grown up and he was able to know his right hand from his left hand, it says that Solomon loved God. You'll find some in the Bible that went after God, serving God early. You'll find that Josiah and Joash were young men, and in their youth, they went after God. But then, it is so sad that I had to read to you chapter 11. It said, when Solomon was old. I have a message that I'm going to get up sometime. The dangers of old age. Because when he was young, he loved the Lord, but then something else happened. And I want us to remember this, that if you love the Lord, it does not mean at the same time you cannot love foreign women, things that God has forbidden. I could wish that once I love the Lord, everything else was knocked out. No, not that. Solomon loved the Lord loved Solomon, and Solomon loved many foreign women. Now, let's have a word of prayer, and perhaps I'll read some more scriptures later. Now, Father, we marvel that we have read in the scripture that you have, by name, told us someone that you loved. Oh God, we would wonder how this could be when the father of this one and the mother of this one were an adulterer and an adulteress, that his father was a murderer and his mother had been unfaithful to her first husband. And yet our God, one born of this union, you loved. We are so glad, our God, that you are able to love those that have not recommendations, have not genealogies that can boast of good things. But our Father, even though our forefathers were murderers and adulterers and liars and hypocrites, yet, when we are born into this world, you can look past all that and say, I love you. We are so thankful for that, our God. So let us take courage we're liable to think, because of what I thought his mother's words, that you could not love us. And that great danger of thinking that because of what our fathers and mothers were in a good sense, you must love us. Help us to know from the scriptures just what is the cause of thy love. And we pray, our Father, that tonight, as we consider Solomon and perhaps others as well, that we shall learn something about whom you love and why you love them. So, our God, bless us this evening. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. If you only know one part of the Word of God, at times you're better off. That is, your mind will be at ease and will not be upset because you're not able to harmonize the scriptures that apparently are at variance with one another. Because I'm going to tell you of other scriptures that say different things. You would think that if God loved a person, he could never be angry with that person. But I read to you in 1 Kings 11 that the same man of whom it said that God loved him in his youth, when he ceased loving God fervently, then it says God was angry with him. I know some, and I can still remember this Christian sister saying that God is crazy about me. And this other woman, God would never do anything to me. God loves me so wonderfully that nothing can happen to me. How deceived you are. Do you not realize that you are a prime target for the judgment of God because he does love you? It says judgment must begin at the house of God. And so the sinners that are in the world, God at times lets them go on and on. Why? Because soon enough their life will come to an end. And they will open their eyes in hell and be in torment. But concerning Christians, God says, walk before me and be thou perfect. And so God loves us. And at times, here is the remarkable thing, two things are said concerning the love of God. And I want to read you these two scriptures, and then see what we can come to a conclusion about concerning them. Turn to Jeremiah 31. I told you about that this morning, but I want to read it to you again. Jeremiah 31. Verse 1, Jeremiah 31:1. At that time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith the Lord, the people that were left of the sword found favor in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. The Lord appeared unto me of old, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Listen to that. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. And I would think that meant forever. There's no argument about it. But turn to Hosea now. Turn to Hosea, and I will suggest something that might help to explain these two scriptures that are difficult to read side by side. Verse 10, Hosea 9:10. I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the fig tree at its first season. Now, they came to Baal Peor and consecrated themselves unto the shameful thing, and became abominable, like that which they love. As for Ephraim, their glory shall fly away like a bird. There shall be no birth, and none but child, and no conception. Though they bring up their children, yet will I bereave them, so that not a man shall be left. Yea, woe also to them when I depart from them. Now, look down at verse 15. All their wickedness is in Gilgal, for there I hated them because of the wickedness of their doings. I will drive them out of my house. I will love them no more. What did I just read you in Jeremiah chapter 31. I have loved you with an everlasting love. What did I read you in Hosea? God says, I hated you, I will love you forevermore. Now, that's a simple thing to harmonize, isn't it? To explain away. It isn't easy at all. It's a very difficult thing. And some of us would say, well, I'm not familiar with Hosea 9, and so I'll just believe Jeremiah chapter 31. But both of them are there. And the only thing that I can suggest is this, that whenever God in judgment deals with people, his behavior is toward them as if there were no love. Yet his love is eternal. And it says something similar to that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It says, when a man sins, he is judged of the Lord that he might not be condemned with the world. So the only thing that I would suggest to you now is that God not loving them anymore means that he's going to stop bestowing his blessings upon them. That eternal love, no, it's still there. But as for protecting them and keeping them and bestowing blessings upon them, no. You'll see that the same thing happened with Solomon. Did it say in Samuel that God loved Solomon? You say, yes. Did it say in 1 Kings that God was angry with Solomon? You say, yes. Well, have you parents who love your children ever been angry with them? You say, yes. And in that sense, you stop loving them. That's the only thing that I would suggest. It may be that some other explanation is given, but at least that is reasonable, because when God mentioned in Scripture about hating a person and loving another person, he will speak about good things that he does for those that he loves and evil things that he does for people that he hates. Just keep that in mind. But do not think that because God loves you, that you can live as you please, do as you please, and that God will do nothing about it, because God says, I love my child so much I would never lay a hand upon him. God will lay his hand upon us with such severity that we become weak. We become sickly. And it says in 1 Corinthians 11, we're even sick to the point of death. We fall asleep because we persist in disobedience when God has told us about it, and we continue in it. And it says that that's what happened at the Lord's Supper. They were coming there in a disorderly manner, and they would not repent. And so God sent weakness, and he sent sickness, and then he sent death. But the lovely thing is this, that as long as we love God, and as long as we walk in his ways, you will never have to worry about the things happening that we read about in Hosea chapter 9. But I want you to see this. Turn to the book of Exodus, talking about God and the way he deals with those that belong to him. And look in chapter 4. And this is concerning Moses, and he's called that man of God. Exodus chapter 4. And look at verse 22. God has just raised up Moses. He's going to send him to Pharaoh to deliver the children of Israel. And it says, verse 22, and thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. And I have said unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And thou wast refused to let him go. Behold, I will slay thy son, thy firstborn. And look at verse 24. And it came to pass on the way at the lodging place, that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Then Zipporah took a flint and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet. And she said, surely a bridegroom of blood art thou to me. So he let him alone. Then she said, a bridegroom of blood art thou because of the circumcision. Now, the same thing happened to Moses that happened to Solomon. God had instructed all the children of Israel to be circumcised on the eighth day. And Abraham, when he was about 100 years old, obeyed God immediately and circumcised all of his children, whatever their age might have been. And then, when new children were born, they were circumcised on the eighth day. And Moses knew this, and because of his wife's disapproval. That's such a bloody thing to do. We can't injure our child. We can't mutilate that child. And so Moses said, all right, all right. And then because Moses hearkened to the voice of his wife rather than the voice of God, it said that God sought to kill Moses. And I'm so glad that the Torah had sense enough to run to his rescue. She understood why God was going to kill him. And Moses was saved from death because his wife went and did what should have been done when those children, when that child was 8 days old. Now, why was God angry with Solomon? We say because he married many foreign women, and all of their false gods and their abominable practices caused God to be angry with him. Yes. And you see the judgment that fell upon Solomon, and now you see the judgment that almost fell upon Moses. So all of us who say, God loves me, that may be true. But it does not mean that God cannot be angry with you, and it does not mean that God can lay his hand upon you in judgment in this world. I rejoice in this. If you have truly been cleansed by the precious blood of Christ, then you will never be in hell. But you can go through hell in this world if you turn your heart from God and you stop walking with him. And so that is the danger. For those who believe that you're saved by grace through faith, it's not anything of us, it's just the love of God, then you think that God will never do anything hard, harmful to you. But I've shown you that he did it to Solomon, whom he loved, that he did it to Moses, that is described as the man of God. So, who, other than Solomon, in the Old Testament, has it written concerning him that God loved Solomon? Now, I'll give you a reward if later on you search it out and you find some more. But for now, that's the only one that I saw as I looked over the references, that only Solomon is the one that God loved and gave him a nickname, Jedediah, the love of the Lord. All right. One thing that is just as wonderful in our case as God loving us is our loving God. You say, it's a thrilling thing to know that God loves me. It is just as thrilling to know that you love God, that he accepts that love, and that he enjoys the manifestations of that love. Who would ever think? Think now of someone who is of no reputation, not handsome, not gifted, and yet here is a young lady that is beautiful, and that young lady loves him, and that young lady loves him to love her and will accept his love. Do you not see that one would be as thrilling as another? That this woman, though I am unworthy, though I am lacking in gift, this woman loves me and she's prepared to accept my love. And so here we stand before God and we are unworthy, and what can we bring to him? And yet it says that God accepts our love. That is a thrilling thing to go through life, to be able to look to heaven, and perhaps I might tell you one night about all the references about people that love God in the Psalms, but to be able to go through life and you feel a burning in your heart and you can lift your eyes to heaven and say, Lord, I love you. That is a wonderful thing. And for God to enjoy hearing you say, I love you. It says in the Song of Solomon, let me hear thy voice. That is a beautiful thing. Just like when two are in love, they enjoy hearing the voice of one another. And God in heaven says, let me hear your voice. He wants to hear you when you pray to him concerning the needs that are yours and the needs of others. But at the same time, he wants to hear your voice when you are telling him that you love him, when you are telling him about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, if there is love between you and God, then to know that God loves me, and then to know that God enjoys the fact that you love him. Now, you find in the scripture, more often, those of whom it is said that God loves them, taking it as in a general way like this, for God so loved the world. Yes. It says, God manifests his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You have those references. But to find those that we know for sure that it says God loves them as individuals, and also they love God, and what it says concerning them, and what they say about, I love God, because it says in 1 John, if a man say, I love God, and hate his brother, he is a liar. And so, a lot of times we say, I love God, and God says, do you love your brother? And if you say no, then God says, you are a liar. But, at times, it is accepted that the love that we have is true, and God says that he loves me. I will give you one reference. You'll find it in Psalm 91. It says concerning the Lord Jesus, this is a prophetical, a messianic psalm. It says, because he hath set his love upon me. And so the Father looks upon the Son and says, he has set his love upon me. That is what God is looking for. Why do you think God loved you in the first place? Because he wants you to love him in the second place. We love him because he first loved us. And he loves us in order that he might be loved. He loves us and he gives his Son that we might turn from sin and enjoy life with him. But in the New Testament, it is one thing to have the scripture say, God so loved the world, but then for you to know that when God says he loved the world, he pinpoints an individual, and that individual is you. Listen to what Paul says in Galatians 2:20. He said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So often a person would ask, God, you could never love me. But some know the love of God. That's what it says in the first epistle of John that is so thrilling. It said, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his Son the propitiation for our sins. That is a fact. But then it says this, we have believed the love which God hath in our case. What does it mean? It means that some have heard that God loves them, and they do not believe the love that God has in their case. But others have heard that God loves them, and they believe that God loves them, and their heart rejoices because God loves them. And that's what Paul said, Jesus loved me and gave himself for me. Now think, Solomon could say this, God loves me. Why? Because here it is, written in the Word of God. God loved Solomon. And I will mention this now because there are three mentioned by name, and there are two others, one whose name we know, and the other one, we know not his name, that are specifically mentioned as being loved by the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in John 11 that Jesus loved Lazarus and Mary and Martha. He mentions three by name that he loves. He loves us all in a general way, but there's some that he loves in a special way. And these three, Lazarus and Martha and Mary, were the three that Jesus loved in a special way. There was another one that is spoken of as being loved over and over again, but he never mentions his name, because it is probably he speaking of himself, and there was this reticence, this humility, and he will not say, now Jesus loved John, the beloved apostle. He simply says, there was an apostle whom Jesus loved. So it has three that are named. And do you realize that in a world of sinners, there are certain sinners that have individual characteristics, and Jesus loves them, whether they're ever going to be saved or not. That's what it says in Mark chapter 10. The rich young ruler runs to the Lord Jesus and says, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And the Savior tells him what he's to do. And then he says, all these things have I done from my youth. And it says, Jesus, looking upon him, loved him. And he said, now, you want treasure in heaven? You want eternal life? Sell what you have, give to the poor, and come follow me. And it said that the young man's countenance fell at that saying, and he went his way sorrowful. So here is a sinner that had good characteristics, and Jesus loved him. But Jesus loving him in a general way and in a specific way does not mean that he's going to be saved. And no special pressure was put upon this man that Jesus loved that is not exerted by God concerning other sinners. And so he heard the way of eternal life, and he refused to accept it. And the Lord Jesus watched him as he walked down the road to hell. And then he turned to his disciples and said, how hardly shall they that trust in riches enter the kingdom of God. So understand that the love of God is a strange thing. A strange thing that he should love us in the first place, and a strange thing that he could be angry with us when he loves us, and a strange thing that it could be spoken of as everlasting love, but then God says, I will love you no more. I said that I believe that that's in the sense of blessing them and protecting them, preserving them from harm. Why? Because he said concerning Israel in Matthew chapter 23, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that killeth the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and you would not. He said, your house is left unto you desolate. There shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be cast down. And he said, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And so in that sense, yes, I will love them no more. He lets the power of Rome come and destroy their city, their temple, and destroy them as well. It said that God was wroth, and God destroyed those murderers. So, this is the way the love of God is expressed in the Scripture. And so that you love God when you were young does not mean that you're going to love God when you're old. That's the danger. Why? Well, perhaps as you get older, it takes more to thrill you. I remember when I was a young boy, I would wait each year and look forward going to the state fair, getting a dill pickle for a nickel and cotton candy. Now all of you are destroyed. You have everything. It means absolutely nothing. But I would wait a whole year, and I would be given a little bit of money to go to the fair, and I could buy a big dill pickle for a nickel, and you could buy a big serving of cotton candy, and that was about a nickel as well. And that thrilled me then. But now, I'm not excited about dill pickles and cotton candy. You see, more things are necessary as you go on in life. And so here is Solomon, and Solomon had everything, and he became bored with all that was legitimately his. That is what is so sad. You see, there are some things that God does not permit us to do. Some things we may not have. And they're the very things that will excite me. Why, I don't want all of these Israelitish women that can be my wives. Why, they would go to the temple with me. They would worship the same way I do. But what thrills me is these foreign women. And they have different gods. And they have different rituals and ceremonies in following after those gods. That's what thrills me. And so Solomon marries one after another after another. And then when he did that, his love that had been fervent for the Lord, because of circumstances, I told you this morning, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of the many shall wax cold. And so here are iniquities and sins surrounding Solomon, and because of that, when he's old, why, this foreign woman fascinates him. And he's prepared to stop loving God in the sense of obedience. And what is it? You want an altar built to your God? Oh, all right, I will build an altar to your God. And so they steal Solomon's heart away from loving God, and he is engaged in building the very things that God seeks to destroy, that Moses was determined to destroy. When Aaron had built that golden calf, it says that Moses took it and destroyed it, ground it to powder, and cast it into the water. And yet, here is Solomon. And Solomon, who knows the one true God, and God appeared to him twice. Now, because of these women, they can steal his heart away, and he builds an idol for each one that pleases these foreign women. So, you love God in your youth, then continue to love God, and beware in your old age, because foreign women, or it may be the lust of other things, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the world and all that is there, it can draw you away from God. And when you're drawn away from God, instead of serving Him, you'll serve those things and the desires of those that are enemies of God. So this is a little bit, and it's all I'm going to tell you, about those whom God loves in the Old Testament. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the wonderful things that give us hope that you could love sinners and that you will accept the love of sinners. But our Father, we become afraid when we see that knowing that you love us and having said that we love you, the time might come when we see something in this world, just as Adam looked upon Eve and abandoned God for Eve. So Solomon looked upon foreign women and abandoned his love for God for the love of these women. Our Father, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And let us love thee our whole life long. Let us be faithful unto the end, as your scriptures say. And now, little children, abide in him, that if he shall be manifested, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Let us, Father, be found loving thee, and not the things that are enemies of thee when you come. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord, we pray. Amen.